Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Great to have Clay Travis back on the show, Outkick the Coverage and Fox Sports Radio. Clay, what's up, man?
Headed to East Tennessee with some kids in the car. So if you hear them screaming in the background, that's what's going on. But everything's good.
We expect total silence from your children in this interview, Clay. Yeah. Nothing less.
Good luck with that.
So, Clay, I saw you tweeting about this. The comparison of the NBA playoff rating round of eight versus the World Cup. And the NBA actually outrated the World Cup. I think this is a failure for Fox and the World Cup that they outrated really bad NBA early round playoff games. You have a different take on that, though. You thought that was something good for Fox?
Well, I don't know about Fox. I think it's good for soccer. I think whoever has the World Cup, look, I don't think the ratings are going to change very much based on who carries the World Cup, right? Like, I mean, I think the World Cup is a little bit like the Super Bowl in that they rotate the Super Bowl around, but it's more about the matchup when it comes to whether they're going to set an all-time record than it is whether Fox has it, CBS has it, or NBC has it. And I think all those networks would say, hey, if we could get the Cowboys playing the Patriots, that's the best possible probably Super Bowl matchup that we could have right now, and it wouldn't matter who had it. I think it's a little bit surprising that the Sweet 16 of the Sweet 16 of the World Cup outrated the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. I think that would surprise most people in the country that more people watch the Sweet 16 of the World Cup, even though there's no American team, even though, you know, it's not even U.S. involved at all, than that the Elite Eight, if you combine the U.S. English ratings with the U.S. Spanish ratings, crushed the NBA. I think that surprises a lot of people too. I think, you know, nobody cares about soccer guy has had to give up the ghost, I would say, over the last 5 or 6 years. That argument's just dead, you know? And so I do think that's kind of a substantial change in the universe of sports.
Well, and looking at it locally, let's look at it from a Nashville perspective with Nashville SC, possibly. I don't think it's still a complete done deal, but going to be an MLS team here very soon. Is Nashville equipped for that? And I'll bring up one other stat for you that I got this past week. Local ratings in Nashville, Tennessee. The NASCAR event actually outrated every single World Cup match in Nashville, Tennessee, which that honestly did surprise me. The NASCAR events that outrated the soccer match, because if you look on Twitter, it seems like everyone's talking about the soccer matches, and they're not talking about NASCAR.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a surprise that 60-year-old NASCAR fan isn't actively, you know, following the trending subjects on Twitter and commenting on them on a regular basis. But I think Nashville has proven itself to be, I believe, a very good sports town. And I think soccer in the MLS is in better shape in terms of having a substantial fan base than, for instance, hockey was when hockey came to Nashville 20-some-odd years ago. I think soccer in the MLS, you know, the long-term trend lines of soccer are going to be really good in Nashville. And I think, you know, if you went back and had to buy stock in the Preds 20 years ago or MLS right now in terms of how close is the market to really liking this sport, I think in general I would much rather buy stock in the MLS future of Nashville than I would have 20 years ago in the NHL future of Nashville.
So Clay, you're a successful guy. You've done huge things with Outkick the Coverage. Any interest in being the CEO of Papa John's now that there's an opening?
I saw that they fired the Papa John guy. I haven't really followed that case very carefully. I know that in general, Papa John's pizza has been on the downward trajectory, right? Like I just kind of think about from a college age when you would follow like which pizza was better. And Domino's got to the point where they were like basically cardboard. You legitimately couldn't taste the difference between a Domino's pizza.
Some nights it didn't matter.
Yeah, you could get a Supreme or just a pepperoni or just a cheese pizza, and they all tasted exactly the same.
unbelievable. And it wasn't that much different than the cardboard itself. Like, if you just, like, were drunk and you were eating, like, and somebody gave you a piece of cardboard that the pizza had been on, it would taste very similar to the pizza itself. And so Papa John's used to be really good. And then I understand it's kind of, like, gone downhill of late in terms of its overall quality. But no, I don't have any desire to end up in that position.
So, Clay, the story that jumped out to me when I saw it, and I know you talked about this on your show as well. New slogan at the University of Wyoming is, "The world needs more cowboys," and it's drawing criticism for being racist, sexist, and counterproductive. Is this just yet another example of the world going a little bit insane and overly sensitive when it comes to pretty much every topic? Yeah.
I think you could criticize the slogan because they are the Cowboys. So it would be like if any other school, like if Tennessee's new huge marketing slogan was, "The world needs more volunteers," I think people would be like, okay, they're the Tennessee Vols, right? I think you could criticize, like, the Florida Gators if their new slogan was, "The world needs more Gators." I think people would be like, do you really think so? So I understand, like, that criticism of, this isn't very bright. We probably paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to some marketing campaign to come up with that, and you just put the mascot after "The world needs more." But the idea that cowboys are somehow sexist or exclusionary or racist is just so insanely dumb to me. First of all, the most valuable sports franchise in America is the Dallas Cowboys. If the Dallas Cowboys are able to create a brand that is the most valuable in all of sports, I would say that Wyoming, probably the word Cowboys has a pretty good connotation with it. Furthermore, Cowboys are Hispanic, they are black, they are white historically, so it isn't even accurate. And I also don't think of Cowboys as saying, like, a girl can't do it. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like if you refer to a waitress as a waiter, it's not like it's an insult. Or if you refer to an actress as an actor too, it's not like it's an insult. It's kind of a universal term in many respects.
Clay Travis with us. Tell us how Paul Feinbaum played everyone and actually having everyone believe that he was going to the Big Ten Network.
Well, I think in general, and this is true in all things in life, you need more than one person to want you to make a lot of money, right? And a big part of convincing somebody that more people want, that somebody else is wanting you, is you get into the bluff game. Is somebody else willing to pay you more in order if you leave, right? And sometimes people try to pretend, oh, that's the case, and sometimes it's not. And I think Feinbaum called ESPN on their bluff. They didn't think he was willing to walk, and I think he was willing to walk. And finally, you know, he had two sides in the stare-down contest, and ESPN blinked, and the SEC Network was a big part of this because the SEC Network gets a lot of programming from Paul Feinbaum, and they didn't want to have to replace 4 hours a day or whatever he provides, plus the weekend show and everything else. So I think this is a win for Feinbaum. In general, almost always, I am going to root for talent, right? I'm going to root for talent over companies because I'm talent by and large, and I would like to see individuals get paid. The companies make plenty of money. And so congrats to Feinbaum for having the right representation and doing a good job of demonstrating that he had an opportunity to go elsewhere.
Clay, I have no doubt that Feinbaum was willing to make the jump. But my question is, do you think that it was a legitimate offer on the table from Fox for him to go to Big Ten Network? I just don't see how that makes any sense other than maybe Fox just wanted to put one over on ESPN. But how does Paul Feinbaum, a guy who wrote a book called My Conference is Better Than Your Conference about the SEC, make any sense for the Big Ten Network? No one in Big Ten country cares anything at all about Paul Feinbaum. How did he pull that off to make ESPN believe that that was a viable option, or was it a viable option for him?
I think it could have been. I don't know, is number one. Like, I don't know whether it was viable or not, but I do know that a bigger part of that was that he was just going to take his radio show and syndicate it. So I think, you know, a lot of times with why radio on TV makes sense is because it doesn't cost very much money. So you can set up a camera. I mean, you guys are in studio right now. If somebody wanted to set up a camera and put your radio show on television, it wouldn't cost them any money at all. And as a result, I think the syndication component of the radio deal was where the majority of the money was going to come from. And then that was just kind of a little bit of a gig at the SEC Network, which was, and oh, by the way, the Big Ten Network. And look, they may have only been having to pay him $300,000 to do that, right? I mean, it doesn't cost very much money to set up a remote camera and put radio on television. So I think that was probably just a little bit of salt in the wounds, and or how bad is this going to look if we put your show on the Big Ten Network? And from the Big Ten Network perspective, I don't know. I mean, I can see how Feinbaum would have a little bit of appeal. Look, when you are on the SEC Network, you guys know this. I mean, it's state-sponsored radio in many respects. And so I think that can be challenging when you are trying to be creative. And it also requires you to make the decision to get on and, let's say, talk about a lot of subjects that otherwise you wouldn't talk about, right? Like, I don't think that in his ideal universe, Paul Feinbaum would make the decision, hey, let's do a whole show from the SEC women's basketball tournament today, and we're going to interview SEC women's basketball coaches all day. I don't think that's something that the majority of people would really care about. But when you're on the SEC Network, you have an obligation to promote everything on the SEC. So I can see from a creative perspective why that might make a little bit more sense, because it gives you, in theory, more flexibility. Unless the Big Ten was going to come in and say, oh, by the way, you're going to go cover the Big Ten gymnastics championships and put on every gymnastics coach for a day. I mean, you guys do radio. How boring would that be if you had to make that opportunity, that decision?
Clay, how would you rate the acting job from Eddie George as he posed next to the portrait of him that looked like a portrait of Eddie George 30 years in the future?
It's one of the, I mean, he got Ronaldo, plus treatment. He got the Brandy Chastain, if you haven't seen that one, and also certainly the Tom Brady sketch artist treatment. That's one of the worst portraits I've ever seen. And I got to give props to Eddie, because his reaction was the equivalent as if they had just unveiled the Mona Lisa in front of him. He was overwhelmed by the artistic genius that he was seeing there. I'll be honest with you, when the Tennessean tweeted out that story, I'm not even kidding about this, I saw the picture of Eddie beside the portrait, and I thought Eddie was donating a portrait to Vanderbilt of somebody else. Because the headline was like, Eddie George portrait goes to Vanderbilt. And I was like, oh, that must be Eddie George. He bought that portrait from a famous artist, and he was donating. I swear to God, that's what I thought. And then when I later was on Twitter, I said, oh, my God, they thought that guy was trying to paint Eddie George. I don't know when Eddie George turned into a Cuban drug lord, but evidently a 75-year-old Cuban drug lord, Eddie George, has been going on. I didn't know anything about it.
So Eddie did a good acting job. How would you rate Gordon Hayward's acting chops, or lack thereof, when it was revealed that he was having a third daughter?
Well, first of all, I think in general, daddy's always happy is an unbelievable line from Gordon Hayward. So for people who haven't seen the video, they have two daughters, and they did a gender reveal. And the gender reveal was not a very ostentatious gender reveal. It was just like a piece of cardboard with some pink balloons in it. And as a result, it was pretty ridiculous in and of itself. And so they're having a third daughter, and it's clear that Gordon Hayward is just like, I've already got two girls. You know, I'm ready for a third daughter. The funniest thing to me was, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, Twitter's going to lose their mind over Gordon Hayward not valuing female children as much as he does male children. And of course that later became the story, but let's be honest.
Oh my gosh. Come on.
For anybody out there, if you have two children of the same sex, and especially if you are a dad, I don't think there's a single dad alive who, if he already had two daughters, if he were being honest, would be like, yes, I would like to have a third daughter. Like, I think 99.99% of men would say, yeah, I'd like to have a son. And by the way, I also think for a lot of people who already had two boys, that they would also be fine with having a daughter, so that you could have find out what it was like to raise children of both sexes. So I think in general, that reaction was just so perfect, but daddy's always happy was just such a perfect line. Like, I need that T-shirt for Father's Day.
Oh, that's incredible. Clay Travis, Outkick the Coverage. He's got a show on Fox Sports Radio as well. Clay, always a pleasure, man. Really appreciate you doing this. Have fun in East Tennessee.
Will do. Appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.
Clay Travis with us here on the Midday 180.
Daddy's always happy.
Like
when he said, you were right, Brittany. to the one daughter.
You were right.
You nailed it.
Once again, another girl.
And he says it as he's kicking the balloon.
615-737-1045, our number. Midday 180, served up by Wendy's.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Whoa! It's a girl!
Whoa! You want a girl?
Brittany, you were right.
Is Daddy happy?
Daddy's always happy.